For average people, for most people in the world, today is Monday. But for people who understand greatness, for people who are committed to being the best, for people who are committed to getting the most done, today is not Monday. Today is really
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
I have the number one draft pick. I'm Tony Boselli. They sent private planes for me when I hurt my knee.
That's true. Everybody else
has to fly commercial.
That's true.
And then
I've got a burger named after me.
I don't remember little peons like John.
That's not true. I remember you, Pete.
Now, to kick off Jaguars Monday, here's J.P. Shadrick.
We're off and running Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli in Jacksonville. CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco with us down in South Florida. Coming off the bye week, the Jags 4-3. They'll be home this week against the Cincinnati Bengals. The 3-4 Bengals come to town. Pete, are you with us?
I am here. I'm ready to go.
Good evening.
What's up, Pete?
What's up, Tony?
Did you have a good bye week? Did you have a good Sunday?
I did have a good one.
It's weird watching games.
Hey, I was talking about you with Ian Eagle on Thursday night.
Yeah? What'd you say?
He said to say hello.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah. He said you were okay. I had to sell him on you.
He likes me because I'm funny.
That's not what he said.
Are you?
You know, he's got – you know what?
He said he likes you because he's taller than you. He's one of the few people he's taller than.
You know, Tony, he's got one of the a biting sense of humor that most people don't know about.
Ian Eagle is one of the funniest people I know.
He really is.
And if you listen to his broadcast, either on I know for radio for sure, and I actually heard a little bit of him this Sunday. They were doing the New England Charger game. If you listen to when he calls the game, he throws things out there constantly, little quibs that are funny.
I think he's really good on the air, too. Really good.
I would argue he's probably – I think he's maybe the best play-by-play guy in all of football right now.
You know what? He's up there. There's no doubt about it. He's really good. Did you do the game – what did you do, sidelines on Thursday and he was doing the game?
No, I do the booth every Sunday night. I mean, not Sunday night, every Thursday night.
Oh, you do?
Every Thursday.
I thought you were on the sidelines of the booth. Oh, you're
on the
booth. Okay.
Booth every Thursday.
This is Tony, yeah. I mean,
yeah, but last week you worked with Tom McCarthy, didn't you?
He didn't because Ian had the New Jersey or Brooklyn Nets, whatever they are. He does the Nets,
okay.
And so he couldn't get across the country. So I did with Tom. Usually,
okay.
Almost every week is me and Ian. I'm actually off this weekend because it's a Jets game and Boomer's right there, so Boomer does it.
So there you have it. There's Tony's schedule coming up on Westwood.
No,
Radio.
I just thought it was interesting.
No, it's good. No, it is. It's interesting.
Small world.
Well, and what'd you do on your off day since yesterday? What'd you do? Did you sit around and do nothing?
I watched pieces of all four games.
It's interesting sitting around the house watching football. It's weird.
How about you, JP?
Same thing. In and out.
Yeah.
Baseball. I didn't even watch the primetime game, though. It was all baseball last night.
No, I watched the primetime game, too.
Yeah, well, you could have watched the primetime game and then flicked over and still saw a full game.
That's
true. I fell asleep. Too late for me.
So, gentlemen, the Jags were busy during the bye week, starting off with Telvin Smith signing an extension, 4-year deal to stay with the Jags. Reported, what, in the $50 million range, somewhere in there?
I thought it was 4 years, $44
million. 44, you're right. So Telvin Smith's around, a draft pick, a fifth-round draft pick from a few years ago, played his way into an extension.
He deserves it. He played good. I mean, when you play good, you get paid.
Yeah, you know what? He should be going to the way he's playing. He's on his way to going to the Pro Bowl. That's how good he's playing, I think. And I like the way they did it. They waited, saw, you know what? The kid's even getting better, so now you give him an extension. Too many times in this league, you rush to pay players. I liked what they did with him, and it was a good. It's a fair deal for both sides, I think.
Is he 100% agree? Is he one of the best outside linebackers in the league? Is he in that?
Yeah, but you know it's hard to gauge that because you got to throw in the Von Millers of the world because they play 3-4 outside linebacker. Is he one of the best 4-3 run and chase linebackers in the league? Absolutely.
Yeah, as a 4-3 linebacker, absolutely. He's not a 3-4 outside backer, but as a 4-3 will linebacker, he's one of the best will linebackers in football.
But it's not fair to say, is he one of the best outside linebackers? Because clearly they're different players. And you know, you compare him to guys like Von Miller and Khalil Mack, and he's not that.
Could that hurt him come Pro Bowl voting time, though?
Yeah, it always does.
Because it's not fair. It always does.
Yeah, the way that people vote for the Pro Bowl is they look at the sack numbers first. And so if you get a bunch of outside linebackers with big sack numbers, they go before the true outside linebackers. I mean, really, Von Miller is a defensive end.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
But
he's a stand-up defensive
end.
There
are guys on great defenses now. For example, Derek Brooks, who's in the Hall of Fame, was a 4-3 run-around linebacker who, you know, actually played on great defenses and went to the Pro Bowl year in and year out. So it can happen.
Oh, sure.
You know, big play. He can make big plays and get in. So, yeah, I definitely think it's – I mean, look, he's really good for what he's asked to do. He can fly around that football.
We know the Jaguars are good at rushing the passer. We know they're good at taking the ball away. One thing they haven't been good at this year is run defense. They addressed that in a trade with the Buffalo Bills, sent a 2018 sixth-round pick to Buffalo in exchange for former third overall pick Marcell Dareus, nose tackle, 331 pounds of him coming to Jacksonville now. What do you make?
I love the move. I love the move for a couple reasons. A, when he wants to be, he can be dominant. And I say that because he doesn't always play as hard as he should. Okay, I'm going to put it out there. All you got to do is pop on the tape. You can find that out. But when he wants to be, he can be dominant. And with this team, with Calais Campbell on that defensive line, it's going to be the best thing for Marcell Dareus' career. I think he's going to rub off on him. I think he's going to put a foot in his behind and say, look, be smart. You can be dominant on this defensive line. We need you. Go to work. Become a dominant player. Get a lot of attention. And down the road, you might get another big-time contract. So, to me, it was and you gave up, what, a ham sandwich for him? You gave up a six-round pick? I mean, that's nothing. That's stealing. And granted, he's got a big contract. Don't get me wrong. He's got a big contract. But and Tony, we talked about it last week, and I was watching tape on Friday, and I sent out a tweet about 4 o'clock. I said, the one thing that this team has to get better at is the run defense. They keep getting washed out all the time. They keep getting, you know, Avery Jones hadn't played that well. Malik Jackson hadn't played that well by his standards. So what do? 3.5 hours later, they go make a deal for Marcell Dareus. So
are you trying to tell us that they made the deal because you tweeted out that they needed help?
No, I'm just a smart football guy. That's all.
You're saying TC's watching Twitter. That's what's going on.
Let's not get carried away. I've been telling you this for 2 weeks. And so don't act like you came up on this all by yourself.
I didn't come up on it all by myself. What do you think? You're the only guy that watches the tape, Tony?
Well, I think I know a lot.
Pro Football Focus watches the tape, too. Don't forget. They know everything.
Stop.
Where'd they have him graded last week? Dareus.
Last week?
Who cares?
Yeah, well, we'll find out later.
He didn't play.
2 weeks ago.
Let me give you – we've talked about all the positives, and I agree. When he wants to play, he is dominant. A couple years ago, he was arguably the best interior defensive lineman in all of football. Here's the negatives. Part of it is what we just said is the positive. When he wants to play, he has a reputation. Tape doesn't lie. Let's hope that, you know, it was a bad situation at times in Buffalo or whatever. Hopefully that's behind him. And hopefully the leadership that Calais Campbell and the rest of this defense is, especially Calais, will help him because he's still a very young player. The second thing is he's been popped twice. For street drugs. I don't know which one it was exactly, but he had, if I'm not mistaken, Pete, he had a 2-game and a 4-game suspension in his career.
Right.
You worry about that. The next one's
of
10.
You don't get sent off for a violation of team rules up there, too, at some point? Yeah.
Yeah, well, he showed up late for the preseason game and got sent home. He was late for meetings at times. Yeah, I mean, look, this is not. An A+.
There's a reason they got rid of. There's a reason the Buffalo Bills got rid of one of the more dominating interior defensive linemen when he wants to be for a 6-round draft pick.
Right.
Because if he had none of these issues, they're not trading him. They're not trading him, especially for a 6-rounder. So what you hope is, one, Doug Marrone has been around him and dealt with Dareus and. And he had success under Doug Marrone. That's one. Two, you hope it's a little bit of a wake-up call because all of us, anyone who's ever played this game, has some pride. And trust me, him getting traded for a 6-rounder doesn't help the ego. It's a reality. I mean, when you're honest with yourself, you're going, they don't think very much of me if they're willing to do that. And I'm going to show them and prove them wrong. I'm going to play with a chip on my shoulder. I'm going to do the things I'm supposed to do. So that's what you hope. And three, getting into a new situation, new environment, kind of gets you, you know, rejuvenated a little bit. If those things happen,
well, here's what else it does too.
It's one of the great trades of all time.
Of all time.
Here's what else it does. Here's what else it does, Tony. It motivates Avery Jones and guys up front. I mean, let's face it. Avery Jones had a good year last year, and they made a decision to re-sign him to a pretty good contract for him. And they let, you know what, Roy Miller was old, but they let him go out the door, and he's banged up. But they made Avery Jones their guy, and he got the money, and he hadn't played of that money. Of all the guys on the defensive side of the ball, if you had to pick one guy who has been the biggest disappointment so far on defense, you'd probably point to Avery Jones, wouldn't you?
He hasn't played well. I think that's fair to say.
So maybe this gets him going.
Hopefully all of the above, because if they solidify the run game, which to me has been the interior of the – it's been the one and three technique, so the nose tackle and the defense tackle, interior defense tackle, they get that situated and shore that up and become a dominating run defense. Well, now you have an elite defense on your hands. You have a defense that can win games all by itself, a defense that can take you into the playoffs and win football games 17-14. And you never know how far you go because you – and Pete will tell you, and anyone who watches football will tell you, you get in the playoffs, things tighten up. It gets harder to move the ball. It's when defense becomes even a greater premium. And you've seen, especially in recent history, if you can play great defense and can find your way into the playoffs, even if your offense isn't great, you can win a Super Bowl. The Denver Broncos did it. Seattle Seahawks did it. Denver Broncos did it with great defense, a little bit of a running game, and a veteran quarterback that could make plays when you had to, but nothing spectacular. The Seattle Seahawks did it with a great run game and a great defense. This team has a very good run game. If it becomes good against the run, it has an elite defense. There's no telling how far you could go.
Well, and the schedule is favorable to get right in the next, couple weeks, too, and it'll let you assimilate them into the defense. Look, I think the defense can be dominant. You know, when you got – let's just say for the argument he ends up being the starter, which he probably will be, Darius Jackson and Ngakoue
and
Calais Campbell is your four. I mean, that's tough if you got to block that group. And then you got the linebackers who can run behind it. Three corners you could cover, two safeties that are playing better football, particularly Gibson than he did a year ago, and Church is playing very well. That's a tough defense to go after now. And then you got rotation guys.
Well, you have rotation guys, and here's the other thing on third down all of a sudden. Now Darius becomes your three-technique interior guy with Calais Campbell. And Marcell Darius, if you look throughout his career, is a better pass rusher than Malik Jackson.
35 sacks or something? I mean, just in general, pressure and effectively quarterback.
He's a really good pass rusher. Yeah. He's explosive. He has short area quickness and explosiveness.
So, Tony, you think on third down it'll be Fowler and Ngakoue and Campbell and Darius on
maybe not right away, but Pete, you've watched a lot of Malik Jackson. You've watched a lot of Marcell Darius. Who's a better pass rusher, pure pass rusher?
Yeah, Darius is, or he has been
in the past. I'm not. Yeah, we'll wait and see. But I mean,
people wonder, this contract is enormous, and people wonder, well, what is it? Does this serve notice that maybe Malik Jackson isn't around after this season down the road? I mean, that's,
guess what, you worry about it. You worry about that after the season.
Yeah, to me, this is more. It's like a little bit of a, go ahead, Malik, and go ahead, Avery Jones. It's time for you guys to start playing like some of those other guys on that defense. That's what it says. I mean, that's the message it sends.
Guess what? Competition is always good. And whatever message it sends, if everyone is on edge a little bit more, and now all of a sudden a guy who has the ability to be elite is right next to you and pushing for playing time, that changes things.
Tony, I want to ask you one thing. I know we got to go to break, but Malik Jackson is leaner. He's lighter. I guess he lost like 20-something pounds this season. I know he's also had a little groin injury. Do you think the loss of the weight has impacted the way he's played up front?
It very well could. You know, you look at when guys change their body types drastically, and maybe they're doing it because they want to get quicker or endurance-wise, sometimes it affects and you have unintended consequences, and you lose some strength and lose some power, and that might be something that we're seeing a little bit.
We'll come back and get into some guys back on the field today for the Jaguars. This is a banged up offense.
And at some point, are we going to grade the first
Yeah, we're going to give out like MVP and defensive player. Absolutely. Yeah, and absolutely.
Are we going to give like A through F grades of each unit? I know you love
to
do
that.
You love doing that, Pete.
You used to love it when I used to grade your offensive line. You love that.
We've missed that. We might even get to some.
What do we missed? What?
No, we've missed his grading of
grades.
Units.
Yeah.
We might also get to some wide receiver rumors floating around.
Oh,
today
I heard that
as well.
Come on.
Coming up at Daly's Place, the Massage Envy concert series continues with Colt Ford Saturday night. That's the night before the Bengals game here at Everbank Field. For tickets, call 633-2000 or visit dailysplace.com. We're off and running. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
That morning, it was a waking moment. So I'm out of here so swift that before I knew it, I was already in Charlotte. By the time I got to Charlotte, I blinked an eye and I'm here in Jacksonville saying hey to the coaches and biggest cocktail party in the world. And with all that going on, it was just, the world is spinning, man. It was traded on the plane, cocktail party, going to the stadium, saying hello, getting out, going to the hotel room, laying on the bed, looking at the roof. What is going on? And called my kids and spread the news, and this is life.
Marcel Darius today met the media for the first time since the trade was made official on Saturday after the physical that he passed. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco. Handful of Jags back on the field today. The Jags were
today. Who are they?
Today.
Who are they, J.P.? Tell us about it.
Well, I was going to get there.
One's really important.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we'll get to them and see which one you think's important.
Okay, tell
Pete.
Us. Go on.
You're so ready for this.
I'm excited.
Leonard Fournette was back in the field today.
Wow, that's good stuff.
He's kind of important to this whole running the football effectively thing.
But you kind of expected him back today.
Yeah, right. That's not surprising.
Brandon Linder was back today.
That's big.
That's good.
I wonder what his weight's like. I mean, being...
Doug seemed to think the strength and the weight was back to close to normal. Last week, maybe
look at
not
that
so.
Picture. Coach Tom Coughlin
is
assistant
stop
head coach.
It, Pete. Quit it with that whole thing.
On Jaguars.com, you could see that picture, the film right there. Assistant head Tom Coughlin and assistant head coach Doug Marone.
Stop it. Dede Westbrook was on the field today.
How long until he's cleared?
They could do it this week
if they wanted to.
Okay. Yeah, and also Cam Robinson was off to the side today, but he was out moving around. So there you go. Which one was important to you, Pete?
Well, obviously Leonard Fournette, but we expected him back. But for me, that's Dede Westbrook is the one. I think if they can get him back on the field and get him in the game action and get him going, it gives him an element that they don't have.
Yeah, to me it would be Brandon Linder.
Yeah, I mean, he's a rookie, Pete.
Yeah, but they need to get some dynamic playmakers on that offense.
Yeah, but they need Brandon Linder and Cam Robinson back out there.
Well, yeah, but those guys, didn't you expect them back this week? They said all week.
Well, Cam, he's not out there
off to the side.
No,
yeah.
Linder. They thought Linder would be back.
Well, I don't know anything. I mean, it's been very quiet. We don't even know what the sickness was.
He doesn't look like just from the video there that we're showing now, he doesn't look that much leaner, does he, to you?
Well, that's an old video. That's an old
video. Oh, it is?
Yeah,
it's
I don't think
today.
That's today.
I don't think. Well, it is today. Max
it is today.
Hockman
so, yeah, he looks great.
Says it is today.
I don't really know what to compare it to, but he's doing high knees very well through the bags. It's great.
I can tell you a lot about getting in there ready to play football, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Tom?
Yeah.
Doing high knees
really,
through the bags.
Wow, it's great.
So,
but, yeah, I mean, look, they're relatively healthy, right? Knock on wood?
Yeah, I mean, Cam Robinson's the only one that's kind of a question mark.
Yeah, Cam's
still right
the one
now.
You worry about, but especially this week, they got some good edge rushers, some big guys. So,
but if he's out there moving around, at least that's a good start, right?
It is
off
a good
to
start.
The side.
Just don't know how severe the ankle was. I mean, Doug didn't even know.
No. Allegedly, yes.
Yeah, sure he doesn't. Sure he doesn't.
So, I don't know. Pete, the whole Westbrook thing, he's a rookie wide receiver.
I don't know what you're expecting, Pete.
I mean, he torched third and fourth string guys in the last game of the preseason.
Look, he can run, and he's quick, and they don't have that right now. So, I mean, look, Keelan Cole was a guy in the preseason that was good, and now all of a sudden he's starting to get it going a little bit, right? I mean, look, you can't teach guys to run. You can teach a lot of things. You can't teach them how to run.
Well, Marquise said
and
he can
run.
That.
Yeah, he can run, but this kid, I think, is a different, I think he's going to be a real dynamic playmaker as a slot receiver.
It'll be interesting to see if they activate him this week or not.
Yeah.
Because I think they have two weeks.
If he's healthy, you almost think they will, right?
Well, they got 2 weeks healthy to bring him up. And once they bring him up, they got to release somebody else. So.
Which, I mean, you.
No, I'm just saying.
You'll make room for him.
No, I know they're going to make room for him. I'm wondering at what point do they do it? Do they wait another week to make sure he's healthy?
Or do they? He might be healthy right now and just waiting his time. You know?
And nobody knows, including the head coach.
The head coach might not even know, allegedly. So, yeah, getting healthy. But the good thing about this Jags team the last couple of weeks at least was that guys stepped in and played those roles well. Tyler Shatley had his moments, when you could see in the film room with Jeff Lagerman that, you know, a couple of times he missed out. But for the most part, held his own there.
Well, they had 500 yards of offense.
Exactly.
They blew the team out.
Exactly. And then left tackle last week, Wells came in a pinch, second play of the game, and stood strong there, too.
And, you know, the Colts, who I don't think are very good, but they barely lost this weekend to the Bengals. So that either tells us that the Colts played a lot better or the Bengals are no good either.
Yeah, and, you know, if you can get guys spotting in like that and doing an adequate job, which is what they both did in that game, then you're happy with that, the way the offensive line play goes in this league these days, right, Tony? You do cartwheels.
No, absolutely.
If you guys come in.
But any position, because you're going to have injuries throughout the year, so if your backups step in and don't hurt you, that's a positive.
Is that a Pat Flair?
Yeah, but
thing?
The way the offensive line play in this league is, Tony, it's hard enough to get five good
no,
ones.
You're right.
On the defensive line, you can get four good ones and then rotate guys in if they get hurt. But on the offensive line, a lot of teams have two and three good ones and then two other guys, you know?
No, I agree. And JP, your question is that Pat Flattery. Yes, Flats has done a great job. You got to give him credit. It's pretty much the same unit outside of Cam Robinson, and didn't have him last week for the most part, or 2 weeks ago, and have played with your backup center the last 2 weeks, and they've done an outstanding job. And I give Flats a lot of credit.
He's only allowed 11 sacks this year.
Well, part of that's because they don't throw it very much.
Right, but they're the best running team in football.
That's huge.
That's huge.
I wonder what their sack per percentage per play is. That's something to look at. That way you can get a fair comparison across the board with all the other teams.
I think they're in the top 10.
Hey,
in that,
I got an interesting stat I want to throw out there, and we'll discuss it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward, it's going to be very important, I think, in how this team plays the rest of the way. On first down, Blake Bortles has thrown 70 passes on first down. He's completed 50 of them for a 71.4 completion percentage. He's got 8.46 per attempt on first down. He's got 5 touchdown passes, no interceptions on first down, and his passer rating on first down is 120.7. Do you think maybe they allow him to throw on first down more?
Or maybe the numbers are what they are because they limit and they manage first down better. And they're easier throws. So I think it's dangerous.
They didn't limit him as much in Indianapolis. Now, Indianapolis is a bad team. But
I think it's dangerous to jump to conclusions is my point.
Well,
I think you can make his numbers sometimes dance the way you want them to dance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First down and 8 to 10 yards. Okay? Ready?
First down and 8 to, well, aren't most first downs 10 yards?
No, you could have a first and
okay,
and,
but the majority and, of downs are first and 10, Pete. Honestly.
Right.
Gosh,
how many first and eights do you have?
This is embarrassing.
The last time you heard of that.
Well, he's had first and 3-7, and
no,
so he's had
okay,
some of those.
Pete, you're being dumb right now. There's usually two scenarios. 90% of the time, it's first and 10.
Right.
The other 10% is first and 5 because you have an offside penalty.
Well, you also have first and 11 plus.
Yeah, 15 is a holding or something.
Okay,
sure.
First and 15.
So,
but my point is this 3-7.
What do you think he is on third down?
Not very good.
What would you guess? Just what do you think his completion percentage is on third down?
43%.
Wow, you took him into the, you went way low, Maselli. Jeez.
Tell us how you really
that's
feel.
Cold.
Buddy.
That's cold, baby. God, you can almost throw it in the dirt and complete more than 43% on third down.
What is it?
You just killed the kid. You're not that far below him, though. 49.2. Well,
I mean, you just got done killing me for 30 seconds, and I was pretty close to the number.
No, I get it, Tony. You can play with the data and show that, okay, because you run the ball, and then on the next first down, you throw it, you set it up. I get that. But I think if you go back and look how he's thrown on first down and when he's thrown on first down, he's much more comfortable when they allow him to do that more than when you run, third and long, put him in, and then
– Oh, but
then,
anyone's going to be better. No one's going to be good in third and long, Pete.
Okay, third and 3-7. That should be a completion percentage there, right? You should be able to
– Yes. So what's the numbers there?
37.9%.
Oh, you're killing him, Pete. You're killing him. 37.9%.
Well, I didn't guess it. I'm just reading you the facts here.
That's my point. I understand. And the reason it goes up higher for third and long because they're usually screens or checkdowns. I guarantee you his third and 10 plus is higher than that.
He's got a 68.8% completion percentage in one quarter. Which one is it?
First.
Wrong.
Third.
Fourth. Oh. Fourth.
Fourth.
Hey, this is a lot of fun, Pete.
Pete, I didn't know you were an analyst.
Well, I mean,
I'm
just going back to what I've been saying all along. You agreed with me that
I
they
do.
Can't just line up. You
no,
did agree with
I
me.
I agree. But my point of saying that is it's going to be naturally higher because they're easier throws. And if you're running the ball, it's off play action. You know, the money down, though, is that third and seven. Third and 3-7 when you have to get a completion. That's where, as a quarterback, you have to make plays.
Well, if you go run for two, run for one, and you're in third and seven, that's not a good offense either.
I'm not saying it is, but Pete,
if they run for seven, it's second and three.
Are you disagreeing with me that the elite quarterbacks make their money on third and 3-7?
No doubt about it.
Okay, so
no doubt.
What are we arguing about then?
I'm just going back to my theory. I think he plays better when he's loose and he's allowed to play a little freer.
No, that's not your theory. Your theory is when you throw on first down, he's better off, and I agree with that. But don't bring this when he's loose and free, because you've yet in 4 years of doing the show quantify what in the heck that means.
Well, I just gave you some data that shows he plays better when he throws on first down.
Okay, that has nothing to do with being loose and free.
Yes, it does. He gets into a rhythm. It's called a rhythm.
Okay.
When you get asked to go and you go in there and you're always put in these obvious passing situations, you can't play free and loose. You just can't. You play tight. Don't tell me he doesn't do that either.
When we're down big and it's obvious passing situations, he plays very well.
We're going to come back and define free and loose.
Well, we've
and
been waiting
all
for
this.
4 years.
We're going to try to figure out. We're going to delve into this a little bit more. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com, the Jags Facebook page, and Jaguars Radio.
You know, when you haven't seen someone in a while, you kind of think about what the player was, you know, in the preseason and all the things that he did, and he did them very well. You know, now it's a matter of, hey, where are you? You know, you've been out for a while. You know, let's get you caught up to speed. We've been on him, you know, the whole time, which I give him credit for, from his rehabilitation to his preparedness. We prepared him like he was playing each week, like we do that with all the players, you know, that have an opportunity to come back. They're in all our meetings. They take all the tests, do all the things that we ask him to do. So he's done a very good job of that. So now it's just a matter of just kind of watching him on the field and see where he is.
Doug Marrone today in his press conference. He met with the media on Monday after practice discussing D.D. Westbrook. Back in the practice field today, rookie wide receiver from Oklahoma. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. You know, speaking of wide receivers, there was this rumor going around today on Twitter.
Nonsense.
About Calvin Johnson. The two teams were interested in the rights of Calvin Johnson, the Eagles and the Jags. Mort Report had that report. Pete, what do you say?
I heard it was not true.
And even if, I mean, he's been out for 2 years.
Right.
And does he want to play? I mean, when he left on his own terms and didn't want to play again. I mean, he pretty much just said that. He came out, I think, about a year ago and said he didn't want to play anymore.
Where does something like that get started?
An agent? Or something, and I don't know.
But what's the age of the gain?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where it gets started.
When is the actual deadline up? Is it tomorrow? Or is it next week?
Friday. Isn't it Friday?
Yeah, it's soon.
Wait,
it's this week, right?
It's coming up soon, either this week or next week.
It's this week, but okay. I mean, who knows if he wants to play? Like you said, he's 2 years removed from the game. That takes a, you know, is he ready to play? Could he get football ready to play by the end of the year? It just doesn't make any sense to me. It never did. When I heard it yesterday, it didn't make any sense. You know, you hear the Colts are shopping T.Y. Hilton, too, but they would never, ever trade him inside the division.
No. Why are they
deadline's tomorrow at 4, by the way.
Yeah, tomorrow. I thought it was Tuesday. Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Why are they shopping T.Y. Hilton?
I don't know. I don't get unless they're just blowing the whole thing up and they know Andrew Luck's not going to be around and they're going to start all over from scratch.
Could Andrew Luck be out for – could this be career ending?
No, not career ending, but it could be – it's probably the season ending. You wouldn't think. Why would you bring him back?
Okay, but why are you so sure it's not career ending if it's continuing?
Oh, I don't know for a fact. It could be, yeah. I think medicine today, Tony, has progressed to the point where, you know, maybe – Greg Cook had an injury. Remember, you ever hear a quarterback named Greg Cook? Played for the Bengals back in the day. He was on the path to be this. He was a rookie starter, had a rifle arm. He was a star of stars. He was going to be this great player. And he had shoulder rotator cuff injury or something, and never ever was the same guy. I mean, he was all this. And
you know,
I was a kid when
you know the word is that's where the West Coast offense was created because of Greg Cook.
Yes,
Bill Walsh
exactly
was
right.
The offensive coordinator, and they had to change their entire offense to short and medium passes. Hmm. Because he didn't have the arm strength anymore to throw that ball down the field.
Right, and the quarterback that replaced him was a guy by the name of Virgil Carter who couldn't throw the ball down the field. You're right. That is, I'm impressed, Tony, that you knew that.
Bill Walsh went to San Francisco and expanded on it, and that's the birth. So the birth of the West Coast offense started in Cincinnati.
Story time with Tony Baselli.
Tie roll.
History lesson.
Yeah, I can give you some interesting nuggets.
What else you got?
But
for
anyways,
us?
But anyway, so that's that. Tony, that he had his career cut short by that. So, but I think medicine's progressed to the point. I don't
no,
know.
But
if
it's concerning
ending,
that he's this far out and he's still having pain, and it's affecting him throwing the ball.
Yes, no question about it. But maybe that's why they're thinking about shopping Hilton. The other one is, you know,
Jags
you
wouldn't
Jimmy
be in
Graham
that mix. They wouldn't trade in the division, would they?
No, heck no.
The
they'd
Colts
never trade
wouldn't
him inside
do
the
it.
Division.
No.
But Jimmy Graham's name has popped up yesterday, and now they denied it. Vehemently in Seattle, particularly after he caught a touchdown pass to win the game yesterday. But that would be intriguing if you're Jacksonville, if he did become available. And the reason I say that is he's on the final year of his deal. You wouldn't have to pay him anything but the rest of his deal, and you'd get a pass-catching tight end to kind of amp up the offense a little bit. And what would you have to give up for him? You know, I don't
well, Seattle wants to they're looking for offensive line help, so they'd want to trade for – I mean, that's the rumor. They're looking to trade him for an offensive lineman.
Correct. But, I mean, like, what everybody thinks – the Texans think they're good now, so they're not going to trade Dwayne Brown. The Eagles are looking for a tackle, too. You know, you hear Cordy Glenn in Buffalo might be available, but they think they're good now, too, at 5-2. So these teams that supposedly were going to make these, like, tackles dumps – why would you do that if you're one of those? Would you do that, Tony? If you were the Texans, would you get rid of Dwayne Brown the way your quarterback played yesterday? No way.
Maybe just because it's not going to end well there for Dwayne Brown.
In what way?
I mean, he's not happy. He wants more money. They don't want to pay him.
If he's not around, it might end well for your quarterback. It might not end well for your quarterback.
Well, I don't want to state the obvious facts here. Is he started for the first time this past weekend? They lost. And they'd won three straight or three out of four without.
They were at Seattle on the road against that defense, Tony.
I'm not saying anything, but if you look at the situation in Houston with the contract dispute, now him being the most vocal person about the whole Bob McNair issue, him not being happy, him wanting more money, he's going to hold out again next year. So you have a contract issue there. They obviously have no appetite to pay him. So why wouldn't you trade him if you thought you could get a pass catching tight end, and for your young quarterback? I'm not saying I would do it, Pete, but it wouldn't shock me.
Right. I don't know. I wouldn't trade him if I were them, based on they can win the division. I mean,
they can't
win
the division.
Why can't they win the division?
Because we're in the division.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna get to the power rankings a little later, but Pete,
so they have no chance to win the division. They have no chance to win a division, Tony.
They're not beating us.
So that's right. Jacksonville's going to run the table, right? And get the two seed.
So let me ask you a question: who's going to block? Deshaun Watson is going to get hammered when they play us. Because, by the way, the Jaguar defensive line is better than the Colts defensive line. And the Jaguars secondary is better. I mean, not the Colts, the Seahawks. The Jaguars front four is better than the Seahawks, and their secondary is better than the Seahawks.
And their linebackers are not better than the Seahawks.
It's close.
Right?
Hmm. Outside Bobby Wagner is a freak.
You know,
yeah, come on. And KJ Wright is a hell of a player in that spot, too, Tony. Come on.
No, I agree.
Pete, you know who's going to get it first, though? The Cincinnati Bengals this week, because the Jags are hashtag forever teal. Teal this week for the Jags' return to Everbank Field. They'll wear teal jerseys for the first time since October 20th, 2013. The Jags 59-44 in teal. They're going to wear teal with the black pants. The Jags are 8-4 when they wear that uniform.
I like the old teal and white. That's just me.
So get your tickets for
no one's asking me, though.
Forever Teal Day, and it's homecoming.
What
day.
Teal jerseys with white pants?
Yeah.
No, what are they wearing? No,
they're going teal and black.
Oh, I like teal with the white, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, tickets available, 633-2000, or visit jaguars.com/tickets for the Forever Teal Day this Sunday at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
How come out of it? You got to, you know, secure them. So it's not like I said I go to the end of the season or anything like that. But, again, I'm happy. They laid it. You feel me? I'm rich. What?
That's good.
You feel me?
That's good.
But, see, that's what people want you to do. I'm going to do the opposite. Happy I got it. You know what I'm talking about? It's enough that everybody can just go Google my name and it come up. So I don't think it's too much more I need to say. You turn on tape. You see a player, you Google my name, you know what I'm talking about, you see that. So, you know, I'm just continue to be who I am, do what I do.
There's Telvin Smith earlier today. I'm happy, I'm elated, I'm rich. That's pretty much sums it up. JP
Good
Shatter,
for him.
Tony Vaselli.
If I got that contract, I'd be happy, I'd be elated, and I'd be rich.
He tells no lies, for sure. To clean up one thing earlier, we were talking about the Jaguars' offensive line, how well they've played, and you asked about sacks per pass play.
Yeah, percentage.
The Jags are 10th in the league
so
in sacks per pass play.
Very good.
Top 10.
That's very good.
So there you go. The Jags at 4-3, tied for first place. Tennessee has the first place tiebreaker. We'll get to the AFC South power rankings coming up a little bit later, but everything is out in front for this football team right now, gentlemen, and it starts with 5 of the next 7 here at home. And Pete, as you were saying earlier, the schedule sets up pretty nice right now for this football team.
Yeah, we did it in our green room yesterday, and I kind of ripped through it. And man, I games they should win, they have about 5 of them on that schedule. Now it's the NFL, so and this league has been crazy this year. But think about it. Go through that schedule.
Didn't we do this last week?
We did. We can do
but
it again,
I mean now. Yeah, we can do it again because now you get another week and they figure out these teams.
Okay.
So for example,
Kansas
the Chargers.
City, or, I mean, this week, Cincinnati. Sorry.
Well, we saw Cincinnati against you mentioned it earlier, Tony. They struggled against Indianapolis.
Okay, so
probably could have.
It's a win.
Jacksonville wins that game.
They can't run the ball.
It's a win.
Right. Okay. Chargers.
It's
LA.
A win. The Chargers.
They never beat the Chargers.
Doesn't
though.
Matter.
Phillip Rivers has
have
their
you
number.
Seen their offense this year? Their offense is terrible.
But that pass rush is brutal now. They both two guys got 8.5 sacks.
No, I'm not saying. I think it's a low scoring game. But Gus has done a good job with that defense. That defense is playing really good. But their offense is atrocious.
Yeah, that's he's still got what 15, 16 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions. They're dangerous. That's a tough game.
Go look at the numbers, Pete.
It's Phillip Rivers, Tony.
Okay, I'm just saying they're
really good.
I can't guarantee. I can't make locks anymore because they don't work. But they're going to win that one.
You make that a lock.
Lock it.
No, I'm not
Come
locking.
Come on.
No.
Are you going to lock the Cincinnati?
No, I'm not. I told you, I'm done.
No, you're not even locking that one.
No, I guarantee it.
How about
no
the Browns? Are you going to lock that one?
No, I guarantee it.
You're not
no
locking at the Browns.
I might when I get there. So they're going to be.
We're getting there. We're there now.
Cincinnati, Chargers, Browns. They're going to win the next 3.
Okay, so that gets them to what?
Seven and three.
So
that's pretty good.
Okay.
At Arizona.
I still think that's a tough. I just
that's,
I don't
that's
like that
Drew
game.
Stanton, though. He's terrible. That might, you know who that could be
or
by then?
Gabbert.
Though. It could be Gabbert by then.
Can you imagine Jaguars Twitter if Blaine Gabbert suits up against the Jags?
Coached by Byron Leftwich, by the way.
That's right.
So I'm going to say they lose that one.
They win in that one, Pete?
Okay. No, I think they win that one. I think if Drew Stanton's the quarterback, he is.
But he thinks they're going to lose San Diego. So we're, we're at the same record.
We're
at
the same.
7-4.
Right. Okay.
7-4.
Okay. Home against the Colts.
That's a win. 8-4.
Home against the Seahawks.
That's a loss.
I don't know, Pete. They don't try.
That's a loss.
Okay. Well, I'll
that's
go,
a loss.
I'll go there with you. 8-5.
Long trip for them on December 10th. And then the next week, Texans here at home.
That's a win.
That's a win.
Christmas,
9-4. Christmas, 9-5.
Christmas Eve at San Francisco.
That's a win. They're 10-5.
Yeah, that's a win. And then they'll lose at Tennessee.
New Year's Eve at Tennessee.
10-6.
I think they already have it wrapped up. With 10 wins after San Francisco, they already have the division wrapped up.
So that week they'll be saying they can rest guys for the playoffs, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they'll be wrapped up.
Really?
Think about that. Think about that.
And actually, they'll be, you know what they might be playing for that week? A first-round bye.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
Really?
Pete, in this year's AFC, you're telling me that 11 wins
might
not get
you? Yeah, but look at Pittsburgh's division, though.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean,
it'll be Pittsburgh.
They got the Browns, they got Baltimore, and they got
But I'll tell
Cincinnati.
You what, They're, New England doesn't have an easy path. They're going to play Buffalo twice.
But if they tie, but you know what, though, Tony? If they tie Pittsburgh, they get the tiebreaker,
right? That's right.
About that. About that.
We're going to the Super Bowl, baby.
About that. Get your hotel room booked in Minneapolis, Pete. Gonna happen. They we'll come back.
Well, they're good. Everybody can go to the Super Bowl and watch them turn and hand off to Leonard Fournette 50 times.
If it works, right? Does it matter? Okay. Hey, let's come back. The phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. I guess we need a Tony Buscelli Twitter question of the night.
I got one.
Oh, you do have one. Oh, so we don't need one then. We already have one. You don't need to throw it out there?
We'll throw it out there. We'll see if something better comes.
Okay. But you got a bird in the hand, right?
I think I got a pretty good one. I'll share it with you. You tell me. Here, hold on.
I'll let you know. No, I'll let you know.
We can I'll read this.
No. You're not reading anything anymore. You're done reading. You are no more. No.
Oh, no. You're done reading. No more of that.
Now.
PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to
bring
your next idea to
life.
All of it.
All of it.
Visit PRI Productions.
Visit PRIProductions.com.
Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
It always helps players, you know what I'm saying, when they're banged up, especially young guys, you know, because they go through, you know, the college season where I think, you know, Cam has probably gone through an NFL season, you know what I'm saying? And I don't mean that from a standpoint of it being hard at Alabama, just that they play so many games, you know, the playoffs and everything. So I think with Cam, I think it helped both players. But I don't think that I can honestly sit here and say I don't think Cam would have been able to play, you know what I'm saying, last week. And then this week, you know, obviously you guys saw him on the field, so we'll see how it goes once he gets out there a little bit more.
Doug Marrone today, when asked about if the bye week helped Cam Robinson and Leonard Fournette, it seemed like an obvious sure, absolutely. It didn't hurt to have an extra week off with those injuries. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco, your calls, 355-NFL-1. We'll get to the Tony Buscelli Twitter question of the night coming up shortly. This, though, is the normal time of the show, gentlemen, where we always do the pro football focus grades. But in lieu of pro football focus grades tonight, since the Jags are off, we're going to do first half grades for the Jags from you two, especially Pete Prisco, who is known for throwing out Fs left and right in his illustrious history of grading Jaguars
football.
Well,
he's not a good person.
Well, I give Fs. You know, we do grade from some team every week, and my shtick is I have to give an F to somebody. So I give an F every week. They
okay.
make me the mean teacher.
All right. Well, you want to go position groups?
Whatever way you want to do it.
And by the way, I just had someone tweet me saying, watching me read the promos every week is why they listen to Jags Monday.
Oh, stop.
Quote, unquote, right here. Pete, you saw it too.
Let's go sports coats.
Sports coats
for two. Let's go to sports coats for 200, Alex. Read that one.
Good idea. Okay, let's start with position groups. We'll start on offense. We'll start with the quarterback. Why not?
Pete? We always start with the quarterback. I'd give him a C-. I think he's done some good things. I think he's done some okay things. I don't think he's been given much help in terms of the receivers down the field. But I'd give a C. Maybe C. C minus.
I got a C.
On what grounds, Tony?
I think he's been just average. I would give him a lower grade if I thought it was all him, but I think it's the way some of the times the games have been called, and I think it's the receiving core as well. But I give him a C.
Okay, C for quarterback play. Let's go. Since you mentioned wide receivers, then he's got to throw to somebody. What about the wide receivers?
I give them a C as well for the same reason.
It's hard to say.
You know, it's hard to say. Are the receivers a B and the quarterbacks a D, or is the quarterback a B and the receivers are a D?
That's what we asked you.
That's what I'm saying. I'm giving them both C's.
Well, that doesn't seem like a cop out.
No. I'll give a C minus. I don't think they win enough. And part of it is they're not good enough to win, but also part of it is the scheme doesn't allow them to win. They don't scheme them up to get them to win. So I give a C minus.
Well, where's the passing game rated in the NFL, JP? You have the
passing is what 32nd, right?
No, it's not 32nd.
30th.
The Miami Dolphins are
it's
last.
28th.
Yeah, 28th. Whatever. I was going to get there eventually.
So really, if you went by the rankings, they'd really be a D.
No, because they're 13th in net yards per pass play too.
Oh, they are. So that means a C.
Yeah, you're C.
Yeah, average.
Okay. Running backs.
A.
You including the fullback in that?
Yeah, maybe a B plus because there's been some blitz pickup issues.
Right. I'd probably give him a B plus.
Maybe A
B
minus.
Plus?
You'd probably give Fournette. You'd probably give Fournette an A, and as a group, probably a B plus.
I'm going A minus as a group.
I was about to say, give him an A something. They're the best running team in football.
A
what
minus.
Are you talking about
A minus. Yeah, but you have to block people too. A minus.
A minus.
Pete gave him a B plus.
You stay in B plus.
I gave him a B plus.
That's
yeah.
ridiculous. Offensive line.
A.
Even A.
A.
You're too biased.
What do you mean? They lead the league in rushing. They're 10th in sacks allowed per play. They've done an outstanding job. They've run into 15-man boxes.
Eight. You give them an A, so they're one. At this point in the season, they're one of the best offensive lines in the league.
No, I'm grading them as individuals. We're not doing a comparison to the rest of the league.
So, in other words, you're on a sliding scale because you don't think they're that good.
No, but if you wanted to compare them to the rest of the league, Pete, they're number one in rushing.
Come on, I don't care what the stats say. They're not one of the five best offensive lines in the league, Tony. You know that.
Tony?
I'm thinking.
Are they?
He knows better than that.
It looks painful.
Production-wise, they are.
They're a B plus for me. I think a lot of those guys have played much better than expected.
Okay, this year, they're an A right now. The way they're playing right now is an A. I'll go A minus just so we can get better.
All right.
A minus.
Okay. Hmm. Oh, look, thinking like a coach, talking like a coach, always a coach.
Right.
A minus.
Coach speak. Let's flip it around to defense. Let's start on the defensive line.
What about tight ends?
Tight ends. I left tight ends out. Sorry.
B minus.
Well, you're being too kind. They're a C.
No, but their run blocking's been very good by Mercedes.
Yeah, he has, but they're a C. In the grand scheme of things, that's one of the weak points of the offense. They're a C.
Had a good game in London.
I'll go C plus. And
he had a touchdown last week, by the way.
C plus.
I don't know, but you know what this reminds me of? The classes at USC Tony took where everybody just gave him good grades.
C plus.
Professor Vaselli, I'll sign up for that class. You know you're going to get a good grade.
Actually, I'm sticking with my B minus. I like the B minus more, I think.
Just rolling through there.
B minus.
It's a factory. Let's start off on the defensive line. D line. You can't split them up. It's got to be an overall grade.
B.
Reasons?
They're one of the worst teams in the rush defense, and they're one of the best teams rushing the passers.
Yeah, I'd give them a B, too. I think that, like you said, the pass rush has been phenomenal. I think Avery Jones and Malik Jackson have been less than what many expected before the season. So I think
if they were an A, you wouldn't have traded for Marcell Dareus.
Correct.
That's a good point, yeah. So you have a B, Tony. What do you got, Pete? What's your grade?
A B. I like the B.
B. All right. Linebackers.
B. Think they've been outstanding in pass coverage and just okay in the run game.
I'd give them a B minus. I don't think they've been as good as I don't think Miles Jack has been as good as I thought he would be.
Really?
I give him a B minus.
Why is that?
Because I think you're going to see it in the second half of the season. I still think he's thinking a little too much out there. And as the season plays out, remember, he didn't play that position much last year. So as the season plays out, I think you're going to see him play more reactionary football, and he's going to be even better. By the end of the year, people are going to be looking at him going, okay, this is why people thought he would be a star in this league. So right now I say B minus.
Hmm. Interesting. Very interesting. Defensive backs. This will be.
I think you got to do it in separate. I think you got to do corners and safeties.
Okay, let's start with safeties.
Well,
I'd give them.
Wait a second. We need to split up the defense, the defensive ends, and defensive tackles.
That's a good point. That's a great point, Pete. You're making up the rules as you go along.
We're just doing secondary.
Yes. Yeah. Defensive backs as
a
whole.
A.
Now you can break them down, but it has to be one grade for the group.
Corners A plus.
Corners would be A plus, and the safeties would be A minus.
Yeah,
they're an A.
That's good.
Or A? No, it would be A plus and B plus to make an A. Right.
I mean, what? A plus A minus equals an A.
No, B plus and A minus are the same thing.
No, they're not.
No, what are you talking about?
Pete, you're an idiot.
That's that Arizona State.
Oh, by the way, you know what I forgot to bring up? It's how meaningless it was to me of how we just completely just demolished Arizona State in football.
And you know what's even – you know what even – I was so happy that USC pounded them because now they can fire that coach and get him the hell out of
there.
They're
not going to fire him, though.
Yeah, I think they might anyways. He's terrible.
You guys like mediocrity at Arizona State.
You know, it's funny. Somebody sent a tweet and said, Prisco gives Buscelli crap all the time about crowds at USC.
Yeah. There's nobody there.
No. And that's it. ASU is the biggest school in the United States, and they don't go to the games.
And it was homecoming.
They got to go. He's got to go. And it was USC.
Yeah.
It's not like it's, you know, it's USC.
There's more USC fans there than ASU.
How long has he been there, Pete?
What is this? This
Fifth or sixth year?
Yeah, he's got to go. He's terrible. The Pac-12 stinks, by the way.
Yes.
I'm not going that far, but go ahead.
Yeah, they're not great.
Well, it does, Tony. Who's good?
Listen, I don't want to get depressed right now. I don't want to talk about it. It hurts my feelings.
College Football Hall of Famer Tony Buscelli doesn't want to go there.
It hurts my feelings.
Hey, let's get to the Tony Buscelli Twitter question.
So can you break down all the grades where we ended up?
Well, we just went through.
Well,
them,
we didn't give a coaching grade.
Yeah, what about coaching?
Coordinators.
Okay, let's go there. Offensive coordinator.
B.
Yeah, you're kind. I give him a C plus.
The only reason I can go B plus is because of not having an answer for the Rams really bothering
me. Yeah, and then Pete, I know you want him to throw more on first down.
No. I think they've been too predictable at times. And they got to do. They haven't done enough to try and scheme open those receivers. That's just me.
Defensive coordinator.
A minus.
Yeah, I give him a B plus.
You're a hard grader there, Pete. What else do you want from the guy? The run defense hasn't been.
Yeah. Right. So you can't give him an A. You can't give him an A minus.
Yeah,
the
is that his call play calling, all, or is it the guy missing a gap?
They're also like the number one. They scored their number tied for first place in scoring defense, or they might be first place now after Seattle giving up 90 points against
them. They are. They're number one.
So they're number one scoring defense, number one pass defense. They score touchdowns. They turn it over. They're number one in sacks.
Give him a B plus.
He's an A
minus.
What
the hell are you talking about, Pete?
Maybe
I'd
a.
probably give an A minus.
Special teams.
C.
F.
there's the
one. F.
You're holding off for one.
They're an F.
Well, we didn't do the players, the kicking game.
No, we're
game.
Talking about the coordinator.
What about the kicking
the
game?
The scheme.
What about the
– No, we're not going to get – that's not the scheme. It's just a general – we didn't give special teams a grade. Special teams gets a grade. It's an F. It cost them a game.
It's a D.
That's an F.
Oh, yeah, it's a D if you're
– Well, it cost them a game. The kicker's been cut. They don't have a return game. That's an F. And it's not because of Joe DeCamillis. It's because they don't have the people that make it work. So, no, that's an F.
There you have it, the grades.
What about the head coach?
The halfway. Okay, let's go there. Go ahead. Doug Marrone, grade at the week nine, going into week nine. What do you got?
B plus.
I'll be honest. I would have thought before the season that I would be giving him a D grade in this spot, and I'm going to give him a B minus. But then I'm going to give the real head coach, Tom Coughlin, an A plus for what he
does. Stop it with that. That's so worn out, Pete.
It's still funny, though.
What are you talking about?
He's on the field every day with his whistle. I mean, come
it's
on.
Really not that funny anymore.
Tony's laughing because he knows. You know why Tony's laughing? Because he lived that. He knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm not laughing. I'm smiling.
I see you. I can see you on camera. You're laughing.
Oh, sorry. Make it serious.
All right, let's get to the Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night. Tonight's entry from JM Guns with a Z. How's Geno Atkins playing? Dominant defensive tackles for the Titans, Jets, and Rams were in Jaguars' losses. What do you think, Tony?
I think it's something that's obviously played true, especially if you look at the Rams game. But I don't know if they it's not like Aaron Donald took over the game. I mean, had a very good second half. The other loss was to the Titans, Jarrell Casey, but he wasn't the factor. Geno Atkins is very good. Leonard Williams, I think it's almost a coincidence more than anything. I don't think it's the reason that they lost the games or what stopped them ultimately. So I don't think there's a direct correlation, but I think it's interesting to look at. I think it brings up a good point, but I don't think it's going to be a factor in whether they win or lose on
Geno. And the guy asked how Geno's playing. Geno's been good, but he hasn't been Geno good. I mean, and by that, I mean, before he tore up his knee a couple of years ago, he was fantastic. Then he bounced back and he came, he played 2015. He was really good. Last year, not as good. This year, probably not as good. But I think some of that has to do with, the people around him. But he still, when he goes, you better block him because he can get penetration. He's quick. He's athletic. He's tough. And he will be a handful on Sunday, no question about it.
There you have it.
So is Carlos Dunlap, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Carlos Dunlap is one of those guys. If he, and this is just my perception, people in Cincinnati have mentioned this. If he ever decided that football was, like he was passionately in love with the game, he could be one of the best players in the league. Because there are times when you look at him and you go, wow. I mean, he's a physical freak, and he's productive, but it's not always that way.
That's right.
And it should be.
Cincinnati defense is up there in the rankings. These guys are –
they're good.
Yeah, they've played well. Played well for the most part.
And you know what? They got some good young players. I mean, Willis, good young player, and Carl Lawson's been a solid, pretty good pass rusher for him, the kid from Auburn. They got some production back there.
Let's come back. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We haven't really got under Baselli's skin tonight, Pete.
No, we don't have any PFF grades,
That's
though.
A good point. Well, we'll see what the callers do.
They'll get under your skin because everybody gets under your skin.
We'll see.
It's the bye week. Everybody's rested, relaxed, poised for the stretch run. Check out Jack Anania's Audi Jacksonville on Blandy. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenaniaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday continues. About 10 minutes ago, Adam Schefter tweeting out, this is not the fake account, this is the real Adam Schefter account, it appears. Seattle has traded for tackle Dwayne Brown. Source tells ESPN.
I think someone just said that a second ago.
Brown is out of Houston and will go to Seattle. Have not seen what for, though. How about that?
I don't get that from the Texans.
Pete, hey, just hang with me. I'll give you insight and let you know how these things work out. I know you struggle.
I don't get that from the Texans. That's a bad
move. Did you see that and go with that after you saw that, Tony?
No,
and just play dumb?
No, there was speculation that they would do that out there, but I just don't get it from the Texans' standpoint, Tony.
The Seattle Seahawks feel like they are an offensive line away from competing for the Super Bowl this year. Again, that they need to shore that up to protect Russell Wilson.
They've
got
some guys
ball
banged
better.
Up this year, right?
Yeah, they have a bunch of guys, and they're young, and they're not that good.
Yeah, they don't run the ball very well.
And Houston wanted Dwayne Brown out of there. They won without him, and so their mindset is, we're never paying him what he wants, and so let's get what we can. And it became more toxic after the Bob McNair comments, and I'm not blaming Dwayne Brown for that, but he was the leader.
He was the vocal leader.
He was the vocal leader, and so that adds even more, gas on the fire, and it doesn't surprise me at all. That's why I told Pete earlier. Pete disagreed with me. Obviously, he was wrong. This year, he's been wrong a lot on this show. And we'll go from there.
I wonder what it's for.
I would have thought it would be Jimmy Graham, but maybe it's a draft pick. Because if you look at the Texans, you would think they'd want Jimmy Graham. But at the same time, I think Seattle, they got the other tight end, Luke Wilson.
Ian Rappaport just 2 minutes ago saying a source says cornerback Jeremy Lane was informed of a trade likely going from the Seahawks to the Texans in the Brown deal.
Yeah, it could be that. I mean, the Texans have some secondary issues right now. They haven't been able to stop anybody.
Now they're going to have a left tackle issue, right, again. But I mean, who do you play over there? Chris Clark. He stinks.
But you know how coaches think. They think we've won with him. And we can continue to win.
I mean, if you're in Jacksonville, you should be doing cartwheels over that deal.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I think it's great. It's great for this team.
You wouldn't have traded him.
Just based on the field stuff, no, Pete. But, it goes so much more into that. He's going to hold out again next year. He's going to be a distraction. How they've got the cap set up with all those dollars spent on the defense, I mean – And DeAndre Hopkins, maybe they said we don't want to allocate that much money to Dwayne Brown. And how good is Dwayne Brown, Pete? Is he an elite left tackle or just a good one?
No, but in a league where there's a lot of crappy left tackles, he's.
I get that, but they felt like they were paying him over $9 million a year, and Dwayne Brown still held out for more than $9 million a year.
Well, his base salary is only $4.9 million.
No. Yeah. That's what he's getting the rest of the year after. That's what he gets the rest of the year after holding out.
Oh, yeah. They would have to pay him.
Yeah, but his base salary was – but next year they're thinking. What are they going to do next year? He's going to hold out again.
Next year it's $9.75 million.
And guess what he's going to do next year again? Hold out again. And so it becomes another distraction.
And he is 33.
Right, and they didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah, I still think – the way the division is constituted right now, they have a chance to win it. So why get rid of a player that can help you win it?
Do you think we haven't talked about it, but the Bob McNair comments and then the
– No, I don't. Because, Tony, in this league, if you can play, they don't care.
No, I agree. I don't think – but that was a messy situation and handled poorly from the PR of multiple releases and different – It was not a fun week to be a Houston Texan, I don't think.
No.
But it does help Seattle, and it makes them – I said it last week. Remember, I said somehow, some way, coming out of the bye, Seattle always finds a way to get things right, don't they? I mean, they just do, and they know how to win, and they're going to find a way to be in the mix at the end of the year.
Is that defense just not dominating anymore, Pete? They don't rush the passer like they once did. Because Michael Bennett doesn't rush the passer as well as he did used to.
He had a good day yesterday, though. He was all over the place yesterday.
He did, but there was for the last two years, he was, dominant.
Well, he doesn't have his partner in crime either, Cliff Avril.
Yeah, it might
there,
be that.
The Jacksonville kid. Yeah. And here's the other thing. They got Sheldon Richardson from the Jets, and they play. They thought him and Reed inside would be really good. At times this year, those guys have got pushed back into the, those guys got to occupy blockers for Bobby Wagner to get to the ball, and they've been pushed back a bunch in there. So they're still the second-ranked, defense in the league in terms of scoring, but they have played some bad off. I mean, they played the Colts, the 49ers and
I guess I was shocked with the Texans more than anything. I haven't seen the Seattle, so it's
Giants.
It's not fair to say that maybe Michael Bennett's been dominating. And I was using him as an example because a couple years ago when I watched a bunch of tape, he was unblockable. And watching that game yesterday, not that he didn't make some good plays, but for that defense to give up that many points to a rookie quarterback, I was shocked.
Yeah, I was pretty – I thought they would handle them really easily. And, look, the kid made some plays. I mean, and you know,
is
Earl
Deshaun
Thomas
Jackson a legitimate franchise quarterback, Pete? I mean
– You mean Deshaun Watson, you mean? Yeah.
What did I say?
Deshaun Jackson.
Oh, Deshaun Watson, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, to be determined. I mean, we get too caught up in – I think – I mean, he looks fantastic. Don't get me wrong.
He's playing well.
We get too caught up in five games, you know, or whatever it is, and they rush the judgment on it. We've seen that before. Could he be? Yeah. You know why? He works at it and loves it and lives it. That's
he's a pro, that's for sure. Are we not doing calls
No,
tonight?
We're about to go to the phone line.
Oh, okay.
What, you want to skip
no,
him?
No, I'm just curious.
Are you trying to bail out on him?
I was curious.
Trying to duck? Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to the west side and start off tonight with Will to discuss the quarterback. What's up, Will?
Hello?
Will, you're on the air. What's up?
How you guys doing today?
Good, man.
That's cool. Hey, before I get cut off by Tony, I just want to say, Pete, I miss your radio show here in Jacksonville, brother. I used to love listening to you, brother.
You're a smart man. No,
I won't be
a smart man.
I won't be to say that when Tony cut me off on what I have to say.
Just say it. Honestly, no one cares.
It's about quarterback play. Tony, you just listening to you guys.
Spit it out.
Okay, but just listening to you guys' grades lets me know that you understand that even with the defense, even though they got another defensive tackle and things of that nature, our quarterback play is is below average. Now, he had a decent game playing zero coverage. If Tom Brady, I know you're not Tom Brady, I'm just saying, if Tom Brady had zero coverage, imagine what he would do.
What's
He's
your
a
point?
Professional athlete. He's supposed to do what he did. My thing is, everyone is not going to play zero coverage. It's going to be teams that will play that can handle us up front, man on man, and still play a coverage in the back where you have no place. My thing is, if you know that's the problem, how come we can't – the plays that we're running is so basic. How come we can't get another quarterback in and see if we can get him up to par? There's no – McMahon for
it's
Jets
week
is
nine.
Better than
That's
Blake
why.
Bortles. I mean, why
hey,
can't we?
Chief,
I listen off the
hey,
air,
chief,
but I just want to
chief,
understand
chief, chief, chief,
why
chief.
Is it so hard
Stop.
To have competition
Stop.
At the quarterback
Stop.
Position?
Stop. Why – what's your point? Did anyone – did Pete or I say that everything's fine?
You gave him a C, I think, right?
So that's a dumb call.
Yeah, I don't know where. Nobody said it was fine.
I don't know what he's talking about. I don't even know. That was like the most nonsensical call we've ever had.
Well, the first part of the call was pretty good, actually.
No, it was. What was that guy's name?
That was Will.
Will. That was incoherent, your call. I don't know what you're doing, but man.
What was it? Say it again.
Incoherent.
Did you add an R in there?
No, incoherent.
Okay, incoherent, yes. So he said incoherent.
He didn't get it right the first time, but
yes,
he bounced
I did.
Back on that.
That's what I'm
right.
saying.
Incoherent.
No, I don't know about that, Tony. Let's go to the phone lines again. Alexander is in Orange Park. What's up?
I give up.
How you doing, Alexander? What's up? Alexander, you're on the air. Alexander, going once, going twice.
Going twice. Sold.
See ya.
Go on.
Let's go to Kyle in East Arlington. Kyle, you're on the air. Good evening.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Always a pleasure. Just a couple of comments. Am I coming through okay?
Yes, you're clear. Yes.
Yeah, loud and clear. Can't wait to hear the rest of it.
Okay. No, really, number one, go Jag. There's no question. But I thought one of the most interesting games was the Seahawks. Was the Seahawks. Man, that was the most exciting game I've ever seen in my life. You know,
38-1
final.
Okay, okay, great. So the game against Seattle, Houston was the most exciting game. It was very entertaining. So what does that have to do with the Jaguars?
Well, this has nothing to do with it. But now here's my deal. I have a technical question. Okay? All right, now I'll make it quick. The real interesting one was San Diego and Patriots.
Okay, that's great. We get, first yeah, of all, you're talking in about everything but the Jaguars, and your phone service
yeah,
stinks.
Yeah, it is cutting
sorry
in and out, Kyle.
Yeah, you're,
sorry.
Kyle, you're all, we can't understand. All I heard was Seattle, Houston was exciting, and then something about the New England Patriots and San Diego Chargers.
That wasn't the most exciting game of my life.
Well, that's what he said. I'm not,
I know.
I'm just,
I know. I was a little aggressive, I thought, on his part.
Hyperbole.
You need to watch more football.
Hyperbole.
But it was, it was a hell of a game, but yeah, it was the most exciting of your life.
Yeah, yeah, the Thursday night game last week.
I thought
was
the Oakland Kansas City game was better.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Orlando. Matt is next up. Matt, you better be better than that one.
Yeah, we couldn't even understand what Kyle was saying. Yeah. It was like underwater.
Matt, you're on the air. Good evening.
Oh, great.
Turn off your radio, Matt.
I have a quick question earlier today.
Matt,
earlier.
Turn your radio
yeah
off.
Hello?
Turn your radio
radio
off.
Radio too loud?
Yeah.
You got
yeah
it.
Yeah, please.
Is that Tony?
Yes, thank you.
That would be Tony, right. Yes.
All right, right on, Tony. My question is, earlier today, or earlier during this conversation, there was a call about the quarterback. I honestly want to know, how far do you think we can make it in the playoffs, because I know we're making it to the playoffs. How far do you think we can really make it in the playoffs with Blake Bortles and our running back?
Super Bowl.
And
Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have a week one bye. So.
No, you said how far could we make it? If you get
right, okay,
if,
better,
if this defense becomes dominant in stopping the run with Marcell Dareus, and he's playing like the Marcell Dareus of 2 years ago, who was an all-pro defensive tackle slash one technique nose guard, and it becomes a lockdown defense where you can't run it or throw it, much like what the Denver Broncos were a couple years ago and Seattle was, where you're limiting teams to, you know, 14 points and under in the playoffs, there's no telling how far you could go. I mean, I'm being honest. I'm not saying that it's because of Blake Bortles or this offense. We have seen dominant defenses get on a run in the playoffs where you can't score and you lose field position. And because of turnovers, the offense gets short fields. I'm not predicting.
Right,
I'm not saying we're going
to. Tony, headline. Tony Baselli has Jaguars in the Super Bowl.
No, I
heard the same thing,
no,
Pete.
No.
Yeah, you did.
I don't think we're going to make the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that.
You just said it.
No, the question was how far could you go? If this defense becomes dominant, and a historical defense, which it already is in the pass game, by the way, and it's on track to set the sack record of all time, which would be historical, and now you stop the run, there's no telling how far you could go. I'm not saying – I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl. I think if I was predicting right now, they'll lose in the second round of the playoffs. That would be my guess.
After the first round bye?
No, they're not going to
get a
bye.
Okay.
They're going to play in the first round.
Think about it. If they win a division, a team – let's look at the teams they could probably play if they played a playoff game.
They're going to play either Pittsburgh or New England in the second round.
No. They would get a bye and play –
No, they're not going to get a bye, Pete.
Not a bye. They would play in the first round. They'd play –
They probably play. They would play the
Buffalo,
or Kansas City will be the 3 seed. Yeah. Probably, it will
right
be the 4 seed. And, let's say, and so we'd play
yeah
Buffalo.
Who the hell could that? Who that could be anybody?
Yeah, it could be Buffalo or. It could be the Broncos.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, this
right
is week 9 right
yeah
now.
Yeah, it could be. It could yeah be the Jets for all we know. It could be
Dolphins.
It could be Baltimore, who's 4-4. You know, they start figuring out. I mean, it could be any of those teams. Yeah. And you beat them, and then you're going to play Pittsburgh or New England. We've already beat Pittsburgh.
It's possible. Go up there again twice in 1 year like you did a few years ago.
So, I mean, I don't yeah think we're going to the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, because there's 9 more games. We've already seen the injury bug hit this team a little bit for a week. And we were playing a team that's not very good, but you know you can't afford to lose Leonard Fournette long term. You can't afford to. We got a secondary. God forbid any of those guys get hurt. We don't have a lot of depth there. So I mean, a lot of things have to go your way. But if you're asking how, I mean, Pete, tell me I'm crazy if this defense stays healthy and Marcell Dareus plays the way he did 2 years ago when he was All Pro or 3 years ago, whatever it was. How good's this defense?
It could be special. I mean,
and
yeah
what happens when if you get into the playoffs and you have a special
right
defense? What happens?
Provided you don't turn the ball over, you have a chance to make a run.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going. I'm not predicting it. But the guy asked, "How far can it go?"
But also, the way they play, the margin for error is very slim. They could end up 8-8 and not make the playoffs.
They agree 100%.
Right.
We need some more confidence out of you. No, what, but what color shirt are you wearing right
Pete,
now,
But Pete, you would
Tony?
Agree with me. If this team finds a way in the playoffs and they're healthy, with this defense playing at an extremely high level.
Yes, and defense travels.
I mean, in the playoffs, it gets tight. It gets tough. We've seen
the only place you don't want to take that defense is to New England.
Well, wait a second, though. Here's the thing, though, guys. Look at New England's struggle with great defenses in the playoffs and in Super Bowls.
Correct.
They couldn't move it an inch against the Broncos.
You're saying this group's ready to go up there and hang with Brady and the Patriots?
They've had trouble with Baltimore.
On defense right now, yes. Number one,
they've had trouble.
We rushed the passer. Yeah, you rush the passer, and this is a group that can get up and play press on their receivers and redirect and make it that short passing game very difficult.
Yeah, a little different than a couple years ago when they scored on every possession.
That's what I'm saying. Right. I mean, I'm not predicting they're going to do it, but this is a special defense. And adding Darius now, here's the big if. I don't know if this is the guy who has been suspended and is late for team meetings and doesn't want to play, or if he's the guy who's all pro that got paid $18 million a year because he was the most dominant three technique in football. I don't know which one it is. I don't know what the season's going to look like injury-wise. This is not a deep football team. It's not depth. I don't think the back end of the roster is that great. And special teams are an issue that they need to solidify, because to be this type of team, you have to play great special teams as well in the playoffs, and we haven't seen that from this group yet.
Correct. So, but yeah, you know what? You get in, you got a great defense, you can go travel, and you can maybe make a little run. No question about it. We've seen it before.
Yeah. You think the Ravens offense was anything special when they won the Super Bowl?
No.
No.
You think, honestly.
Their run defense was a lot better, though.
Great. But, okay, was Seattle's offense anything great when they won it, Pete?
No.
Was Denver's offense very good when they won it? Peyton Manning couldn't throw the ball.
But you made a good point about Brady. When the Ravens have gone there and beat him, upset him, they've rushed the passer on him.
Same with Denver.
That group. Denver, the Giants in the Super Bowl.
Rush the passer. I'm telling you, the great equalizer of what this team can do is they can rush the passer, and they rush with four pretty dang well. And when they rush with five, they have confidence to play man outside and not be afraid. Because you have two great corners, and you have a good nickel, and you have two safeties playing at a high level, and you have linebackers who can run. And guess what?
Put it out there. Tony Boselli says the Jaguars are going to the Super Bowl.
I'm not saying that.
Not only that,
I'm just saying
they might be in Minnesota with a defense that can win it. Boselli has them in the Super Bowl. Defense can win it. Get the rings. Get fitted. The whole deal. And one last thing.
Yeah.
Mike sent us a did you see it, JP?
No,
on
what's
Twitter?
That? No.
He says that was definitely an incoherent.
That's what I thought. I knew I didn't. I wasn't making it. I want to make that up. Incoherent.
Incoherent.
Sports coat. Coming up.
You want to start evaluating your Auburn-Alabama game? Or Auburn,
Arkansas?
The Arkansas tape you sent me?
Oh, see, so you go
you
back
want,
to the past.
You want to break that down?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, we'll break that down.
It'd be great. Incoherent.
Are you getting on him for that, Tony?
He's trying to. Is that working?
It won't be hard.
Let's come back. Coming up at Daly's Place.
It won't be hard, Pete.
Colt Ford this Saturday. And Jethro Tull's right around the corner as well. So tickets available, 633-2000, or visit Daly's Place. .com. Quit interrupting me while I'm reading.
I'll
stuff.
Do whatever I want. What's wrong?
We're going to go around the AFC South. We'll get the power rankings in the division a little later around the NFL. This is Jaguars Monday in coherent style on Jaguars Radio.
I think it's always good when a team shows that, you know, they're pushing to win championships or pushing to go in the direction of winning. I say as players, if they did it or not, it's kind of a feeling or an aura amongst ourselves that we know, you know, what we got to do at this time.
Telvin Smith earlier today, when asked if he felt getting Darius was the organization saying, hey, we're going for it. Well, there you have it, the defensive captain. What he feels about it.
That's good. But more important, I think there's some great information on Twitter right now. Pete?
About?
Well, Pete, for whatever reason, they didn't include you on this, but I think this is should be the tweet of the night. Maybe we add a new category to the Jaguar Monday tweet of the night.
It's the same thing. We have Twitter question of the night.
Twitter question of the night and then tweet of
the
night.
Oh, it could be in a comment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it says, Tony Buscelli, you and Pete should do a radio show. You would dominate the airwaves. Perfect blend of give and argue. No mention of you, JP. Sorry. But Pete.
He just trampled JP.
I think it's an excellent point.
He didn't trample me. He just left me out, which is normal. You know?
Thank you, Noodle0601 Ingram.
I think that noodle guy is a jackass. Yeah, I said it.
Wow. Yeah. He just trampled
you.
Yeah,
you're going to get trampled. I'll trample you back. How about that? Leave me out. Unbelievable. No, I mean, you guys are good together, you and Pete. Tony, you know?
Pete, basically, and also the Seahawks gave up a fifth rounder and Lane this year and a second rounder next year.
That's a hefty price.
Well, second rounder in 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it, though. I get it. Don't you?
Well, they're going to – and then Brown's contract, he only has one more year left on his deal. He's 30.
Right.
He'll be 33.
He'll be 34 when that deal's done.
Yeah, he'll be 33 starting next year. He's 32 right now.
Right. Right. So, I mean, I get it from Seattle's standpoint. That's a pretty hefty. Give it a two up for a 33-year-old tackle means you're ready to make a run, right? I mean, that's what they think.
No, I think they I think they look at the number one, they look at the NFC. It's not great. You got the Eagles. Who else in the NFC scares you? I mean,
nobody.
The Saints are playing good football right now. You got to give them credit winning five in a row.
The Falcons will get it going.
I'm not convinced they will, Pete.
No. I think they will.
Hey, let's go around.
Let me see. I want to do it for Tony. I want to see how PFF graded Dwayne Brown yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, so I won't say.
They gave him a minus. I watched it. I think he gave him a minus 1.2. So,
well, I've always thought I thought Dwayne Brown is a good left tackle, never a great left tackle. That's just my opinion.
I agree with it. But if they put Chris Clark in there, he's a spinning top. He stinks.
They won more games with him than with Dwayne Brown.
All right, fellas.
I mean, they can't play the rookie they drafted. He was terrible. So I don't know. They got problems. That's a big.
Hey,
issue.
How about the Zach Miller injury? Golly,
we'll get to that. We got to get around the league next segment. Can we get around the AFC South first?
Okay.
Yeah. What
are you producing the show again, Tony?
I should.
I know you got a tweet saying they like you.
Frankly,
saying they like you.
Frankly, the show recommendation is me and Pete.
That's great.
So
that's great. You know what? But this show is not just you and Pete.
And
I'm going to drive the boat here.
It would be that. Well. We could,
and we're going to AFC South right
have,
now.
We could have Joe.
So
produce it.
Let's look at the AFC South, starting with the standings. Tennessee at 4-3.
Oh, that's right. You're
has
right
the
there.
Tiebreaker. Shut up. Tiebreaker over Jacksonville, and then it's Houston at 3-4. Indy at 2-6. The Titans and Jaguars were off this week. We've talked about the Texans. The wild back-and-forth game against the Seahawks, 41-38 the final. Watson had a big day. They've traded the left tackle away now. The Bengals beat the Colts 24-23. The Bengals D held late. Andy Dalton had a couple of touchdown passes. They can't run at all. So, that all said, how about your power rankings in the AFC South? If you would like to, Tony, sir.
I got the Jaguars is 1, the Texans is 2, the Titans is 3, and the Colts is 4.
I'm going to agree with you.
Wow.
I think the Jaguars.
Bam!
I think the Jaguars are the best team in the division. I'm curious to see. Dick LeBeau's a great coach, Tony. I'm curious to see what he does after the bye to try and fix that defense, because that defense has been atrocious. And I still think right now, the addition of Darius, the schedule, everything else, I think they're the best team in the division.
So
right
is
now.
It so Darius or Darius?
Darius.
It's Darius.
Darius.
Okay, I'm just asking.
You could add an extra R in it and call him Drarius like you do every other word.
Hey, be careful, Pete. Okay, I'll kick you off our show if you're not careful.
Oh, wait, you're going to put me, it's going to be you and JP going
no,
to show.
No,
I'm
no,
out.
No. Me and Joe. Just me and Joe.
You and Joe.
Maybe we'll bring Hollywood in. He has a lot of talent, supposedly.
Allegedly. Let's come.
You and Osher. You and Osher, you can talk
Ozone.
About old times when you used to give him crap about his ponytail.
Only if he gets a ponytail again will he join the show.
All right, let's come back and get around the National Football League, including the gruesome injury to Miller of the Bears. I don't think he lost his leg, but there was a moment today where that was in question. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
back to the HenneneAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
The JTA Game Day Express features two downtown locations along with rides from the north side, JTB and Phillips Highway, and the beaches. Buy your tickets now at JTAFLA.com. They'll be busy. Five of the next seven games are at Everbank Field for the Jags. So ride that Game Day Express downtown.
Five of the next seven.
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
That's a lot of games.
Or five of the next nine, too.
Right. Technically, you're right, Tony. That's right. You're better at math than I am. Let's go around.
Well, I'm better at a lot of things than you are.
Left tackle is one of those two. The National Football League.
I'm trying to find something I'm not better than you at.
And read some other people's headlines. Starting with
reading,
Zach Miller.
Reading, making live reads is one of them.
Oh,
I'm better at that.
Barely.
What are you talking about? I dominate you in that.
You know, next week we'll do a read-off.
We did that last week, and you lost.
No, we'll do a read-off.
There's no rematch. No,
we'll do a read-off.
What are you talking about?
And the callers can call in and tell us who's the better read was.
That's great.
Hang on. You're going to have to send all the liners to Pete because he's in on this.
Yeah. We'll do all three of us will read liners next week, and we'll have Twitter instead of
calls. No, I'm not going to read them because I don't sit here. I'm not trying to be the guy that thinks he's the best
guy. Okay, fine. Then you're last
person. I'll judge. Either.
I just know I am. I don't have to compete against somebody to know.
I'll judge.
Pete can be a judge, although Pete hates me, so he'll judge against me.
What are you talking about?
And we can have the Twitter world judge as well.
No, what we can do is set a line, the over-under on flubs for Tony, and how many reads? If he does four reads, the over-under is six.
Over-under is 7.5. I'm going over.
If I get the reads at the same time JP does, I've seen him. I've walked in here before, and he's practicing his reads.
Like a pro.
Wow,
like
I didn't know that.
Professional does.
I don't think he does those cold.
You're right.
He practices them over and over. He's looking in the mirror. I can do it. I know I can do it.
I can do it. I can be it. I can be a star. I can be a star. I can do it.
I can read.
That is great that you just let that out.
I will be someone.
That's like this is a bad thing. That's like a true pro going to do.
No, next week you both got to do the reads without seeing them.
Fine.
Great.
No, but
whatever. Can we move on, please? Zach Miller's about to lose a leg. We're talking about this.
Well, that's not funny, JP.
It's not funny at all. It's a horrific injury.
Why are you bringing up light of it?
It's a horrific injury for the Bears tight end, a former Jaguar, of course. And they had to undergo surgery, vascular surgery.
He shredded his artery above the knee because he dislocated. It bent backwards. I couldn't even watch it. I saw a picture. I'm like, I cannot watch this.
It was bad.
And the team doctor did a great job of recognizing that he was losing his pulse in his leg, which tells you there's arterial damage. And they rushed him to the hospital and did emergency surgery, not just to fix – I mean, fixing the ligaments is fine, but they had to go find the artery, repair the artery. You have to bring specialists in to do it. It's very difficult. And if you don't get it done in time, the result is you lose your leg. They amputate. And – from all reports we've gotten so far, it sounds like they've saved the leg, and you know, who knows if he'll ever play again. But my goodness, what a scary situation in Chicago!
Mm. And after good kid too, really
great guy.
Really good kid.
And after all that, they ruled it wasn't a catch either. Mike, have a heart.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Here's the thing, it's happened before in this league. Napoleon Kaufman, do you remember him?
I remember watching it.
Napoleon McCallum.
He was a former Navy running back.
Right.
It happened on Monday Night Football. The Raiders were playing, and I remember it like yesterday. And you could hear it, and you could hear him screaming. And immediately you knew something was wrong.
And then there was a player underneath him, and he never got up until – remember, he stayed
on
top of him.
They couldn't because of the way his leg was positioned. It was brutal.
Yeah. Lawrence Taylor?
And then
– no. I can't remember who they were playing.
It was
a Monday night game. I remember watching it.
Yeah, I'll think about it. And then the other one was Teddy Bridgewater last year. The reason he was rushed to the hospital by an ambulance was the exact same reason. Remember you heard, Teddy Bridgewater suffered a knee injury, and everybody goes, well, why the heck did they rush him to the hospital?
Well, they were worried about the artery damage.
Correct. So it's a bad injury.
And don't forget about here in Jacksonville, Tavon
Banks.
Banks.
Yeah.
Dislocated his knee against the Atlanta Falcons.
They were playing, by the way, McCollum and the Raiders were playing the 49ers. Ken Norton Jr. was the guy who tackled him.
Yeah. Ugly. Scary. Yeah.
Mm.
So let's get to some other games around the NFL. Let's get to the Bills. 34-14 win over the Raiders. The Bills are now 5-2. They're undefeated at home. They did that after they traded Darius away, and they're playing good football right now, this Bills team.
I haven't watched them at all this year, Pete, because I haven't had a game that they're involved in. And they're playing Thursday night this week against the Jets. What are they like? I mean, tell me. I mean, are they good? How are they winning football games?
They're pretty good on defense. Pretty good, not great. But here's how they're winning football games. Ready? They open with the Jets at home. They played a bad Panthers team and lost on the road. They beat a bad offensive Broncos team at home. They beat the Falcons at Atlanta, which I give them credit for that. But remember, Julio Jones and Sanu both went out of that game in the second quarter. And they had two fluky plays. One was they called it an incomplete pass. Remember, Matt Ryan threw the ball. It looked like it was an incomplete pass. And they picked it up and ran it in. They called it a touchdown. Then they beat the Bucs by three. And the Bucs are terrible in defense. And then the Raiders stink. So we're going to know more about – here's when you're going to know more about the Bills. Ready for this five-game slate? On the road Thursday night, I don't care who you play in the division, it's a tough thing, short week, Jets. Saints at home, at Chargers, at Chiefs, home against the Patriots. Five games, we'll know by December how good they are.
Yeah. Interesting. Raiders, yeah, I agree with him. The Raiders, I haven't seen them, so I'm not – I mean, there's not much I can add. The Raiders stink, though, you think?
They're terrible. The defense is awful, and it puts so much pressure on the offense that now Carr turns the ball over. So, yeah, how they fired Bill Musgrave and kept Ken Norton Jr. is one of the great mysteries of this season. They stink.
The Eagles do not stink. They beat the 49ers 33-10, a team they should have beaten, but the Eagles are now 7-1.
The big test on the Eagles is going to be when they play a good defense who can rush the passer, no Jason Peters, and how they handle that. Jason Peters is a really good football player. But I think – I've said it before. I think the best team in football right now is the Eagles. They're the most complete team. Their front four is dominant. Timmy Jernigan was a great trade. Fletcher Cox is a beast. They got good run linebackers who can run, and they're okay in the secondary. But because they can play coverage with only rushing four and get pressure on the quarterback, that makes them better back there. They can run the ball. Carson Wentz is a stud. They got weapons outside. Nelson Aguilar is acting like the second-round pick, the big play guy they thought he would be. Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz is the other, is probably the number one tight end now. They're good. They're a good team.
They've also had the benefit of the schedule as well. I mean, they got three straight home games against the Redskins, the 49ers, and now the Broncos this week. But, I mean, they played the Cardinals at home. They played the Giants at home. Neither of those teams are very good. In their road games, I mean, they lost at Kansas City. That was a tough
They only
game.
Lost by and seven, lost, too.
Yeah, and they lost to they went and beat Carolina. I don't think Carolina's that good.
Well, they beat them on a Thursday night, though, and that's a tough place. It's tough to win on a Thursday night on the road.
Yeah. I mean, the Eagles are good. I don't know how good, though.
Who's the best team in football? In your power rankings, I know you do them every week, Pete.
I put the Eagles there because they've earned the right to be there. But
where are the Jaguars in your power rankings right now?
I haven't finished them yet for this week.
Well, where are they?
I don't know. I have to move around. It depends what happens tonight. You move teams around.
Where were they last week? How about that? My goodness.
I think they were like 15 or 14.
Not that hard of a
question,
you idiot.
15, huh?
15, 14, something like that.
Wow.
So you're telling me there's 14 teams better than the Jaguars right now? I don't buy that.
In the same zip code, there's about 7 or 8.
I'm confused. I really am.
I mean, there's 7 or 8 teams that are interchanging. Buffalo has got a better record. Are they better than Jacksonville?
I don't know.
We're doing a radio show here, JP.
Sorry, phone
so
rang.
Turn your phone on
JP, what was that?
I thought it was on silent.
I'm done.
Monday Night Football, let's get to it. A battle in the AFC West, the 3-3 Denver Broncos. Head to Arrowhead to face the 5-2 Kansas City Chiefs.
He's flustered, Pete. He can't even handle it right
Broncos
now.
Or Chiefs? Who you got?
Chiefs.
I got the Chiefs, but something's got to give. The Broncos' offense is atrocious, and the Chiefs' defense stinks. So something gives. I think it's the Broncos' offense. I like the Chiefs.
I got to answer a phone call.
Yeah, it's bad radio, JP.
We'll talk to you next week.
That's why you're on the big plan of Pete and I's show.
Good night, Tony. Tony Vaselli, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato, Pete Prisco. I'm JP Shadrick. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.